We're still in 13, continuing on the same thought. These teachers and false apostles, they were blind leading the blind. And again, these teachers and apostles, they were what later Paul would refer to as ministers with itching ears, teachings with itching ears. They want to know how they can please the followers instead of God if they can get money out of them, is what was behind a lot of this. And all of them, when the blind lead the blind, the Lord implied they both fall into the ditch. All of the false teachers and those who fall for their doctrines will end up in hell. They will end up in the bottomless pit. They will end up into the second death, ultimately. That's what he meant. The broad way that leads to destruction, and many, the majority, go therein. As I've said over and over again, and I believe it firmly, that the majority of professing Christians that say, Lord, Lord, throughout the world are on their way to hell, and most of them have never truly known the Lord. As Jesus said, I never knew you. They were taught some Christian doctrines and a mental assent, but they never were born again. They were never converted. They were never being led of the Spirit nor obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he rejected them. And they will be shocked. Because see, they'll say, Lord, Lord, you know, but didn't we do this? And he said, I never knew you. Yet they believed he was the Son of God. They believed he was the Lord of glory. But see, again, Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you do not do what I tell you to do? And when he rejects these people, he's going to say, I don't know you. Ye cursed of my Father. You did not do the will of God. Notice in both cases, he used works. He says, you did not work the work. That's what do means. You did not work the work of God. You did not obey the word of God. Oh, you may have believed it in your head, and you may have accepted outwardly that Jesus was a... But that didn't mean nothing. You were not committed to follow and obey him. You did not give up your life for his sake and the gospel's. So it didn't matter what you believed. And that's the majority of the 2 billion, one-third of the world's population that claims to be Christian. That's the state that they're going to end up in. Again, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and will not follow strangers. He means what? Strangers are hirelings and false shepherds, bringing in strange teachings, strange to sound doctrine, strange to plain, pure teachings of Scripture, which are true, just, and holy. Again, the masses of professing Christianity, and some once Christians, or many toward the end, are going to be deceived, for they began to listen to these ministers and tell them what they want to hear, and it appeals to their carnal nature, and they want to hear it instead of sound doctrine, instead of the sword of the Spirit of God. And again, it's worth going to, because again, Peter expresses it so well. He deals his whole epistle with much of this, but it's so applicable for us. And remember, they were in harmony, these apostles, and what they taught. Again, go back to 2 Peter. This time we go to chapter 3. Oh, the end. It's worth reading. We've been there many times. But again, the time demands us to be constantly reminded that we live in a dark, deceptive time. And it's going to get worse. And most of the churches are false, and most of them are not sound, and it's getting narrower and narrower. Jesus said, as the days of Noah and Lot, that's what's going to happen. There were going to be few righteous. Noah's time, it was just him. His family got in for obeying him, but it was him that found grace with God. A lot, a whole community and valley of possibly 50 to 100,000 people, they estimate, he was the only one considered righteous by God. Isn't it interesting? And he said the end time was going to be like this. So we should not be deceived into thinking it's going to be wonderful to be a sound Christian, because it's not. There's going to be warfare and conflict and suffering. But notice what he says in verse 14. Dan, I'll read it. I'm not going to comment. It's worth hearing, and we've commented on it so many times. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, the coming of the Lord, let us be found to be serious, and to be found by him, who God, when he turns, Christ, to be what? Without spot and blameless. He's talking about the outward lifestyle, not just the inward heart. See, many people are claiming something in their life is not being worked in, and they're making no effort. But they're claiming to be Christians under grace. While again, Peter had already said, they're in covetous, they're in license to sin, they're in all kinds of wickedness, and yet they have the audacity to think when the Lord comes, he's going to take these people. No, he's going to curse them with the wicked and judge them as a king and a judge. That's what he's going to do. And he says, account the long suffering of the Lord as salvation, that God will wait and wait until he's ready. And people, because he's not dealing immediately, that gives people space to consider where they're at. But ultimately, one day he will come. And he says, account the long suffering of the Lord as salvation. And then he says, as also our beloved brother Paul. What was his attitude toward Paul? He is a beloved brother. And this is the Paul who reproved Peter on a few occasions. But he recognized it was the truth when he spoke. And he says, according to the wisdom given to him, he has written to you, and in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things which are some things hard to understand. Who? For the Christian? Look what he says. Which those who are untaught and unstable, they twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of Scripture. If you ever want to believe whether the Apostle Peter was one of the foundation layers and what he believed about the epistles being written, he believed that Paul's writings as of this time were Scripture. He accepted them on an equal par to the Old Testament. And he calls them this. And he says again, they're hard to understand. Who are they hard to understand? The wicked. See, the Scripture says the ways of the Lord are plain to the righteous. But the Lord said, but the wicked shall never understand. So when people that Paul is dealing with, even now in the Corinthians, he's saying, you keep fooling around these false teachers and you keep letting them take the truth from you, then you're not going to understand anything spiritual and you're going to be lost and think you're a Christian. You're going to be like the Laodiceans, think, oh, we're rich and everything's going well and we don't need anything. And Jesus said, but you're naked, blind, and miserable, and you make me sick to my stomach, and you're saying you don't need anything? He made it very plain, but see, they didn't know. The Laodiceans did not know. They thought they were okay. And they weren't okay. And they could not understand, because spiritual wisdom and understanding comes from the illumination of the Holy Spirit. See, that's why the sinner often, in most cases, cannot really receive the Lord until he comes under conviction of the Holy Spirit. He does not see himself as a sinner. Man, at his worst and best, he doesn't think he's that bad. But if you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you begin to see things as the Spirit wants you to see. And it's a disturbing thing. And that's why most professing Christians have not known the Lord. They've never come into true conviction. They've never been dealt with directly because they've rejected the conscience. They've rejected the message. They quarreled with the messenger, and they've mishandled the word of God because they didn't like it. And they turned their ears away from the truth unto lies. They are responsible. The consequence is swift destruction to those who have known the Lord and are being led astray by false doctrine. So notice what he says here. But you, therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, you've been taught these things, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Did Peter believe you could lose your salvation? That one scripture alone will prove to you he did. And he said you can end up just like these other unstable people. Why does he give you the warning? Beware. God does not threaten if there is no warning to be heeded. He meant it. So he says, beware. Who? Beloved. Who's he talking to? The ones who are stable and following the Lord. Lest you fall from your own steadfastness. This refutes the lying, demonic, greasy grace teachers who says you cannot fall away and lose your salvation. They're a liar, and they're motivated by a lying spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not indwelling them. They are preaching doctrines of demons, and Peter did not preach doctrine of demons, neither did Paul. And he said, being led away with the error of the wicked. What does the Scripture call them? Wicked. When he told the Christian, you beware, lest you end up just like those people. And then he gives the positive side, but he doesn't say it's guaranteed. Who's he talking to? The faithful beloved. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's the ultimate? If you do not grow in grace, growing grace means you are growing in your knowledge and fruitfulness to the Lord, life, and ministry. It is what Jesus said, you are bearing fruit. And he says, and when it ceases to bear fruit, he always spoke of those who bore fruit and then ceased. He never talked about a branch in Christ that was bare from the beginning. You never find that in Scripture. But he said what? So if we don't grow in grace and grow in our continual walk with the Lord and live by faith, and obedience and being led of the Lord, then the opposite is you will die spiritually and swift destruction will come upon you, and the Father will look at that and says, this that was once mine is now cursed, and he will cut that branch off and throw it aside, and it says, and they will be burned. Ultimately, hell will be waiting for those who are cut off of the life of Christ and through the real church. So again, we need to take these things serious because we live in serious times. Okay, let's go back to chapter 11, verse 14. Not only it says they're false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles. No wonder, he says, should you be surprised, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come terrorizing people. He comes with false religion. When he came to tempt Eve, the first human to sin, how did he do it? Did he scare her? The Bible says he was a serpent, but it didn't mean he was a snake like we. Evidently, it didn't scare her. She wasn't surprised that he was talking to her. So evidently, there was something going on there. You know, we would thought, oh my, this creature. But evidently, that was normal. God allowed the serpent, you know, to speak the demon to take control. Or Satan obviously took control of some animal and used it. And Eve was not surprised at this. Isn't this astounding? They're going to talk theology. And she was not afraid of him. You know, she would have ran. She didn't. She talked and conversed with him, and ultimately she believed what he said at the expense of what God had told them. So again, he appeared to be kind and looking after her interests. What didn't he? He said, oh, well, you really won't die. God knows that if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, that you'll know things like he does. See, he never came out and said that God is evil and you should join me. He didn't try that tactic. He just simply put a little thought there. Well, maybe God is keeping something from you, and I'm going to tell you about it. Isn't that nice of me? And she began to listen and entertain. He appeared so nice. I mean, he was offering her such kindness and wisdom that it appears that God hadn't given me. So Eve started to listen to this. See, that's the deceptive. He appeared to be good and kind to her. And you will not die. He said, you really won't die. Probably he just said that to scare you, but he's not going to do anything. So go ahead and eat, and you'll be so smart, you'll know things like God does. She fell for it, didn't she? We saw what happened, the fall of the human race. So again, is it so surprising, the apostle says, that the false apostles and false teachers disguise themselves? Satan himself would pretend to be an angel of truth and goodness to deceive people. Again, we have a perfect example. He greatly fooled Peter, and Peter did not even catch it and got sharply rebuked by the Lord. Oh, it's worth going to. Mark, the Gospel of Mark. This is a man who was with the Lord for 3 years, and Jesus would tell them occasionally things that were going to happen and how the Son of Man would die, and evidently Peter didn't want to believe this because he kept telling the Lord something else occasionally. See, they heard what they wanted to hear. That's the danger, when you hear what you want to hear instead of what the truth is. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, look at 31 through 33. We're going to see the angel of light here. We're going to see Satan fooling Peter, and Peter doesn't even know he's being tricked. Okay? And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days he will rise again. And he spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He didn't like the message. He didn't like what Jesus was telling him. See, remember, I tell you over and over again, these disciples of Jesus, even for 3 years and so, they're still hoping that Jesus is going to be an earthly Messiah, throw off the Romans, set up the kingdom, and they're going to be governors with him. See, that's what they're looking at. So when they hear these other stuff they don't like, they sort of want to discount it. See, that's how people do when they don't really want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And that's what happened. That's what these people wanted. And even the apostles had fallen because they were not that wise, if you think about it. And you see why God took so long with them here. And it wasn't until the Spirit came and they were filled with the Spirit and entered the new covenant that began to see things real clearly. But notice what he says. And he spoke this word openly, and Peter rebuked him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, who the Lord, he did this in their presence, he rebuked Peter. And what did he say to him? Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. See, Satan appealed to the patriotism of Peter. These Jews just wanted to have the glory of Israel back, and they wanted to be back in power, and they don't want nobody ruling them. They were taught that way. You know, that's why there was such a problem to the Romans. And then on the other hand, when Jesus said he was going to be persecuted and killed, oh no, we can't have that. Why are you going to be king? We're going to usher you in as the king of Israel. See, that's what he is thinking at this time. So Peter is moved not only by his patriotism, he is moved by his human sentimentality and affection for Jesus. Don't that appear so good? Nothing wrong with patriotism, nothing wrong with sentimentality and love and affection for your friends. Is there anything wrong with it? In the natural, there's nothing wrong with it until it gets in the way of the things of God. I mean, Jesus did say, render to Caesar's what Caesar's, and to God's what's God's. And if it's a clash in the two, you render it to God. That's what's taught in Scripture. What Peter says, and again, out of personal pity and love and affection for Christ, yet it was inspired by the devil. He deceived him. He used this to cause him to sin and to get Jesus, if he could, to change his methods, is what he was after. Why, if Jesus had taken this advice from Peter, as in another gospel it says, Peter said to Jesus, it actually says he held him, implies he grabbed his shoulders or something, he said, pity yourself, master. Spare yourself this. You know, you don't need to be killed or anything, you know. And again, that's when Jesus called him a messenger of the... Actually, the word he addressed the devil in him. And it probably took Peter by surprise. He didn't say, Peter, you inspired the devil. He said, get behind me, Satan. He recognized who was inspiring Peter. It probably shocked Peter to be called the devil. But it was the truth. And what would happen if Jesus spared himself and did not go through the process as the Lamb of God? Well, all of us, Peter included, would be in hell. So you can see he appears as an angel of good and kindness. Many a people has gone to hell. Many a professing Christian, many a backslidden Christian, because they put their family and their own life and their patriotism before the will of God. And they justified it when God said it's idolatry. See, that's why Jesus, from the beginning, you don't hear the preachers preaching that today, from the beginning that the time comes to the Lord, the moment they come to the Lord, they immediately were told, and it was part of the gospel message, unless you hate your mother, your father, your life, your children, your own life, you cannot be my disciple. All natural laws and affections, whether they're natural and normal, when it comes to the kingdom of God, they are to be subordinate. And if they are not subordinate, then that person is an idolater. They do not truly worship Jesus Christ. So you've got many a man cannot do the will of God because his wife won't let him. Many a man has missed the things of God because he put his family first. Many people, and then they go to their own self. They could not give up their own will, like the rich young ruler, but they wanted to serve God. But they couldn't let go of what God required them to let go of. And so this is the gospel message. You don't hear that today. Today it's just believe Jesus is the Son of God and you're a Christian. Say that. Okay, now you're a Christian. That is false Christianity. It is a part of the truth that is made a lie because, again, it leaves out the whole of the doctrine of Christ. When people believed in the beginning, the Scripture, and even Jesus, the apostles, told them, then you must continue in the faith. Didn't say now you have arrived. It said you began the race. Didn't say you finished the race. It said you began. And he says, and through much tribulation we will enter the kingdom. We have a battle and a warfare. And if you're called and chosen, that's wonderful. But he never left out, but you must be faithful to the end. See, the false teachers leave this out. So this is the kind of message. Again, in teachings, these false apostles would appeal to them as godly men, and they would use whatever they could, you know, to get money out of them, to get them to support them, to control them, and yet they appeared to be doing this for God. They wanted the people to believe that they were messengers of God. So again, Satan has not changed in his methods. Again, Peter was saying, don't go to the cross, hoping Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom. He had his own agenda and his own understanding. And I've said it over and over again. And even after the resurrection, what is the first question we see in Acts that the disciples want Jesus? When are you going to restore Israel? See, they're still hoping that Jesus will somehow change his mind. And he basically said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has set in his own keeping. But you just wait until the Spirit comes on you, and then he will guide you. Why was he saying this? Because Jesus knew it was going to be 2,000 years or more before he was going to come back as judge and set up the kingdom. And he knew Peter was going to be long dead and had nothing to do with this, that Peter was going to be helping establish the spiritual church. And it wasn't an earthly kingdom. And God's intention was ultimately to destroy Israel's system. And he gave them 40 years even after Christ for the leaders to consider repenting. They still didn't do it. And he destroyed that whole system. He was not interested in promoting Hebrewism and the Old Covenant anymore. He brought in the new, and that's what he wanted promoted. And from that time on, you do not find it in Peter's writings or Paul's. You do not find any of the apostles mentioning again them waiting for Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom in their lifetime. You don't find them. He may come back, some call the rapture, but again, he doesn't mention, and in none of the apostolic teachings is Israel mentioned as far as the church is concerned. So again, the apostles then understood that their kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, and Israel as a nation would have to wait thousands of years for God to deal with them again as a nation. And again, that was when the new covenant and the church had been removed, and he began to deal with them again according to the promises he made to Abraham and David and so forth. But again, you would think after 3.5 years they would have caught on, but they didn't. So again, Satan is still at it with smooth, appealing words through false messengers and messages. We hear it all the time, some of the sayings. You know, God loves you unconditionally. Scripture does not teach this. They are teaching this as a sure way that God somehow is going to save you. God loves unconditionally. The closest you can get to that is God has goodwill for everyone, even the wicked, and that is his benevolence. But it will not guarantee them salvation nor heaven. So the way it's used is almost, you know, in every context, well, somehow because God loves you, he'll find a way and you don't have to worry about anything. It's a lie. And then the other teachers say, oh, it's all grace, so if you don't want to be a true, serious Christian, at least you have fire insurance and you're saved. Doctrines of demons, that's all it is. License to sin. And then the others say, I am a king's kid, and God wants me to be rich and happy, for I am so special. No such teaching in Scripture. And on, he lies to the gullible and those who turn from the truth to lies. And we know what their end is, and it is not heaven. We have to understand that. We know that their end is not heaven, but Lord, Lord is what many of them are going to say. They're going to say Lord Jesus, and they believed he was Lord. And it will be of no use when they will be consigned by the Lord under the curse of God to an everlasting hell. And this is professing Christians who are going to say Lord, Lord, and backsliders. Many will be in there. Verse 15, he says, well, if Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, he's the angel of truth. He comes bearing the truth. But what did Paul say? These people cause people to blaspheme the truth and turn from the truth. How? By bringing in, Peter says, destructive heresies. They will add to God's word. They will take from God's word. As the apostle Peter says, they will wrestle Paul's words as all scripture. They will twist or torture to their own destruction, to their own spiritual destruction in hell, is the consequence of messing with the Word of God. That is the message also. When people tamper with God's Word, you tamper with the truth, and then God will send, and he will allow the lying spirit to go after you, because he will remove his own spirit from that person. And we see many scriptures that tell us this. And so what does he say? Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. They pretend to be righteous, but their works are covetousness and control and pride and the pride of life and greed and ravishness. This is what their real works are and what is going to happen to them in every judgment of God. And you'll find several judgments mentioned in the book of Revelation, but even in the Old and anywhere in the Bible, it's interesting. I've said it over and over again. Every judgment is according to people's works. Never once is it according to their belief. You cannot find that. Because, see, again, as James would say, your works will prove what you believe. But you can say what you want mentally, and again, Jesus doesn't accept it. Like he said, you can claim to be a disciple and say, Lord, Lord, but he's saying you're not if you don't obey me. He's saying you're not a son of God, a daughter of the Lord, if you're not led of the Spirit. If you don't keep my commands, you're not mine. He makes it very plain through the Gospels and the Epistles. So we have to understand this, that they are going to be judged according to their works. Everyone will be judged according to their deeds, their works, their fruitfulness. Again, never once does any of the judgments say in any place of Scripture that they will be judged according to their belief. See, because many people have mental assent. Most of the people under Judaism, under Israel, God himself said to the prophet Isaiah, were not his. He said they're only a remnant. And he was speaking of the Old Testament believers that would be saved, a remnant. He said, though they be as the host of heaven, the descendants of Abraham be as the stars, he said, only a remnant would be saved. You know, and even Jesus went and validated that. He said, in this new covenant, men shall come from the east and the west, you know, the north, the south. They'll come from the world, the Gentiles. And he said, they will enter the kingdom. He said, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Who are the children of the kingdom? The Jew who claimed covenant and was a bodily descendant of Abraham. They were the ones that Jesus argued with. And many of the Pharisees, when they said, we weren't born of fornication, they were insulting Jesus' questionable birth. And what did Jesus say? You know, they said, we're following Abraham. And Jesus mince no words, as Paul did not with the false apostle. He says, your father's the devil. He says, Abraham's not your father. He said, if Abraham were your father, Abraham was a man of faith. He says, you would believe in me and following me. That's why he says, your father's the devil, and you will do the works. He said, works of your father, the devil. And what was their works? To murder him and to murder the prophets and the old and new. And they did. And so again, he mince no words. He didn't call them true Jews. Jesus did not believe that most of the Pharisees were true Jews. I believe he accepted some, but as a whole, he called them. He used the strongest language that even Paul don't use in the apostles, regular. 10 times he reproved them, called them snakes and vipers and blind guides and blind leaders and hypocrites. He used the strongest words when he talked about them. Even Paul didn't seem to go so far, but he wanted us to know what they were. So again, the majority of the Jews that have lived from Abraham on, through Moses, through the prophet, the scripture implies the majority of them did not make it into the covenant, and God did not consider them a part of the covenant. Though they were circumcised, and they sacrificed, and they did a lot of ritual, and they obeyed where they wanted to, even God through Ezekiel, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. That means they're not mine. And so it is not going to be any different at the end time. New Covenant Church. It's going to get darker and darker, and what we see is going to increase, and this is why the Apostle Paul warned about, he said, when I depart, grievous wolves shall come in, and they will not spare the flock. He had already been dealing with them. Peter warns us of the same false teachers are going to come, and it's going to increase, not going to decrease. So that's why Peter can say, you better be sound in doctrine. You better stay faithful to the Lord and not be led astray by these false doctrines and false Christianity, which is so prevalent around all of us and all the nations. Most of professing Christianity is a watered-down false form, a professing religion that has no real soul to it. And so again, he's saying, don't be surprised that Satan's servants and these false apostles, they imitate their master. He is their father, the devil. Their end will be the same as their father. He's the father of lies. The first murderer was Cain. He did what his father was, Satan, the spiritual father. Once he fell, it was what? He was a murderer. He murdered the righteous. That's where it began on the planet here. All devils and wicked humanity will get the second death, and that is the lake of fire. It is an eternity cut off from the grace of God an eternity cut off from any hope of salvation, an eternity in torment because of people and demon sins, that God's eternal wrath shall be upon them. And see the false teachers and the smooth talk, oh, God wouldn't do that. He loves people too much. See, they twist what they don't like. But you know one thing is interesting? It's never altered God's word or his mind. Heaven and earth, man and machine and institutions and false Christianities and religion, they can fool the masses and a majority of the people, but God will have the final say so when he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but God said, but my word shall not pass away. So when God says the wicked angels and wicked people will spend eternity in hell and torment, he has not changed his view on the subject, and he's not going to change. So we need to, again, get back to Scripture. Let's go ahead and we'll take a break here. Father, give us wisdom. We live in deceptive times, Lord. We understand that, and it's a dark time, and it seems like sound doctrine is becoming archaic and rare, as in Samuel's time, Lord, it was dark then, and the Scripture said, and the vision of the Lord was rare. It meant because the priests and the religious leaders and the people were so wicked that God withdrew his clearer revelation and let them reap the consequences of their sin. Even your word in Amos, I believe it is, the Scripture says that God shall send a famine of the hearing of the word of God. He said it will not be a famine of natural bread and water, but he shall send a famine among the people. And it says, and they will go here and there at the wrong time and too late seeking for truth, and they will not find it. But Father, your word says that you will send a famine. You will not open their understanding. And we're seeing that's a consequence, as Paul spoke of in one of his epistles, because men love not the truth, God gave them over to deception, gave them over to corruption, that they shall be damned. That is the end result of resisting the Holy Spirit of truth, of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you will give us and continually give us the Spirit of truth, that we will not fall into the error of the wicked, as the Apostle Peter said, that we will not be led astray into false, plausible doctrines, smooth things that the old nature wants to hear, rather than what the truth of God's word is. We ask that you give us sound doctrine in our hearts and our word, that you will illuminate us, that we can understand Scripture. As Paul said, that we would be given the spirit of revelation and the acknowledgement of God and his ways, and have spiritual discernment into his will and his purposes. That you will give us a clear vision, Lord, that we can hear the voice of the shepherd, and we can hear the voice of the Spirit, and not fall into the deceptions that multitudes of professing Christians and many that have once known the Lord are falling away into false doctrines, and they are getting a famine of the hearing of the word. It's as if you are closing things down, and the word of the Lord is becoming rare and scarce, and in a way we see then it is a punishment upon those who have been given much and have refused to come your way. Give us truth and the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.